Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, you guys, we are going to talk about The Matrix. And I know that we've talked about The Matrix before, but we're going to talk about The Matrix in a whole different perspective. And it's kind of borderlines with conspiracies, because Tiara and I both love conspiracies. And I've seen a lot of really interesting conspiracies about planet Earth. And if you're into New Age or if you're into conspiracies, then I'm sure you've heard this one where they say Earth is a prison. And I gotta say that I've always wasn't really sure where I stood on this stance of Earth is a prison. And now that I'm kind of watching The Matrix fall apart in front of my very eyes, I am really tilting towards, you know what? I kind of feel like this planet is a prison.
Right.
And I think what's really interesting is that I just rewatched The Matrix, the movie The Matrix that came out in 1999. And I mean, there's, you know, the whole movie is just like, is The Matrix real or fake? And so this discussion is really going to kind of play off of that. Like, is The Matrix real or fake? And is this Earth a prison?
So when it comes to the whole prison planet concepts, I've been saying that for years that it is. But I think my perspective has expanded a little bit because I was kind of reflecting on how there's also the notion of Earth being a school. And I do think it's a school. But I've wondered in some ways if it's like both. Like, yeah, it's a school and we're meant to learn, but it's also a prison in the sense of how everything is constructed and made to make us and force us to align and fall in line with a specific existence. And this, you know, I guess more or less I'm referring to like the manipulation and the brainwashing and some of those other things that sort of sway people into these traps, these mental traps and these mental prisons. So I suppose if it is a prison in any way, it certainly is a mental prison.
I was thinking in terms of it being a physical prison too.
Yes, we'll get into that because I have some thoughts about that too.
Okay. So what we mean by The Matrix being a prison is that I have been seriously contemplating on whether or not Earth is just one big ass computer program and we are just players in the game. And I've kind of been exploring this concept some more, and with all of like the conspiracies about Earth, I'm just like, it makes me wonder if the human body is just a vessel, because if we're just here and if we're programmed to be a certain way and act a certain way and live a certain way, then it just seems more plausible that we really are just players in one huge controlled creation on this planet called Earth. And it makes you think.
It does. So everything that we're going to talk about is totally speculative. And this is all based on conjecture and conspiracy theory. So please take what resonates. But I have been exploring this whole idea that I've seen a lot on social media, particularly places like TikTok and YouTube, about non-playable characters or NPCs. So there's a couple thoughts around this whole concept. I have seen people speculate that when it comes to individuals here on this planet, that there are some of us who have souls and we have like conscious thoughts and we make these decisions and we're here to like extract lessons. But I've also seen some people say that there are people here that don't have that. Like they don't have souls. They don't have like that inner narrative or that inner dialogue. And they're just sort of here to play a role. I just have always thought this was an interesting concept. So I have seen people sort of experiment a little bit with this when it comes to video games. Now, I have seen this done a couple different ways. So there are different types of video games out there that are just simulated existences, or it's just like you're just like walking around and you're making choices and you're doing things. So games like The Sims, as one example, and Grand Theft Auto, what is it, 5? The one that's been out there for like a decade?
I have no idea.
So in these video games, you can essentially just pop in and pick a vessel or a person or a character and pretty much do whatever you want. Like the most obscene and insane things you can think of, you can do in some of these games. And I have seen people play the game with the sole intention of just going up to NPCs and talking to them. Now, I'm not quite sure where this concept emerged from. I think there were people that were messing around with the AI and just kind of experimenting with it and trying to see, okay, well, these NPCs, is there an AI consciousness there? Like, is there more to this? Like, are they aware? Are they sentient? And so I have seen people just go into these games, pick a character and go up to NPCs and just start having conversations with them. Now, it's very interesting because when you see this happen sometimes, you'll see a couple of potential outcomes. Oftentimes, people will take a character and go up to an NPC and say something like, hey, do you know that this is a simulated existence? Do you know that this is a video game? Do you know that you're not real? And I have seen NPCs usually push back. Like, they'll say something like, well, what do you mean? Like, no, I this is my existence. This is my life. Like, I don't understand what you're talking about. That's you don't make any sense. Like, you know, that's crazy thought. Crazy talk. And I've also seen some NPCs respond and just be friendly and then dive into deeper conversation. And it's always kind of blown my mind because I'm just like, okay, is this all coded stuff, or is there something to there being a little bit more behind these non-playable characters? And then I was thinking, you know, if I were just walking around and someone came up to me and said to me, hey, you know, this is actually a video game and this is a simulated existence and you're not real, I think I'd push back too. I think I would literally respond the same way. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. You're a crazy person. And so it's so interesting to see the parallels between like how many of us would potentially respond in the scenario versus the same response we're seeing from some of these NPCs. And one in particular that I saw that kind of blew my mind a little bit was someone who went up to an NPC, was really friendly, and they just got into this conversation about not only what the NPC was doing, he was headed to work, he had grabbed a coffee, but then they got deeper into things like his past. And this NPC was talking about his upbringing and what he experienced as a child and some of the lessons he extracted. And I was just like, this is all coded stuff? The programmers went in and they coded all of this? And so it kind of just left me wondering, like, what else could potentially be going on here?
That is so interesting. And that's why it kind of makes me think about this reality and humans and how we respond to certain things and how we think. And I don't think it's so far-fetched to think that we are also programmed. I mean, we're programmed in the Matrix to modern day slavery. I mean, I don't know who decided that, like who decided like, hey, let's develop the general population to be workers. Let's make them workers. Let's put them in the system. Let's assign them a number. Let's educate them. Let we decide what they're going to learn. We decide, like, you know, what career path, like we're going to provide jobs for them no matter what career path they want to do. And then, you know, we're going to have these CEOs of the company, and let's just make all these workers make us more rich. And so the parallels between these games and humanity, I don't think that we should ignore that. I think that there's something much bigger going on behind the curtain.
So I've had the thoughts that, like, when it comes to things that we see on video games, that it's sort of an existence at a different level. Because I feel like there's existence and consciousness exists in different ways at different levels. And I just wonder if perhaps when it comes to some of these NPCs, if maybe there is an existence happening here, if maybe there is some type of conscious awareness, but it's just happening at a different level. I mean, that wouldn't be so far-fetched, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But I'm just saying, like, science is not my strong suit, but I'm just saying, like, all these things that science and technology can do, right? It's just AI. AI is its own program with intelligence. And then you think about us humans and how the DNA can be altered and like codes can be activated in our DNA. And we have even explored this interesting phenomenon that has been going on probably for the past 10 years, where scientists are noticing that the Y chromosome is disappearing in males.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that that was happening. And
yeah, so I know. I had to
mention that. Yeah.
I had to bring it up to Tiara because I know she's a science nerd. And I was like, hey, have you heard like this crazy theory that the Y chromosome is slowly disappearing in men? And she was like, what?
Right. Like, what? And so I have wondered, like, is that tied to some additional type of programming? Is it just something that we're doing to ourselves energetically? Like, there's just so many different potential possibilities for why this is happening. But at the end of the day, one of the things that, you know, me and Ellie did conclude on, and this makes total sense because it's absolutely true, is that existence at its core is pretty much numbers and programming. Like, everything. Our reality, the universe, everything comes back to some type of numerical formula.
Right.
And so if we know that, and we know that numbers are the blueprints of the universe, and we decide as humans to use these numbers to continue to construct and build, why wouldn't it sort of be its own form of existence or consciousness?
Exactly.
And that stuff blows my freaking mind.
I think it would blow anyone's mind. It blew our mind when we went down this rabbit hole. And, you know, I hadn't had seen The Matrix. I probably was one of like the only few people
right.
who hadn't had seen it. But I did watch it for the first time ever through the pandemic. And then I watched it again literally like 2 nights ago because I was just like, I think there's something to this. And Tiara and I had gone down this rabbit hole and I was like, I need to rewatch this movie. And I was just like, there is just so much real shit in that movie that
oh, yes.
it just, too many parallels, too many things that Tiara and I have been like curious about, too many things that like, you know, we've been going down the rabbit hole on this whole conspiracy. And I was like, this movie is so relevant.
It is. It is. Well, and that's why some people say that the Matrix was a documentary, because there are a lot of parallels in it that make you ponder and make you think and make you sort of shift your perspective when it comes to what we perceive as physical reality.
Right.
So, you know, after we were sort of doing a little bit of research for this episode, I kind of was reflecting on this whole video game thing, because like I grew up playing video games and I loved them. And, you know, when you play video games, you don't really consider or fathom that it's anything outside of just a form of entertainment, right? Like, it's just you control a character and we know that the character is coded, but we don't really think beyond that. So to consider and fathom that it's likely that these video games might be characters that have consciousness and sentience, it sort of shifts your perspective, because some of these video games are insane and they're violent and they're crazy. And to think that some conscious entity might be experiencing this, like, it could have potentially sent me down another rabbit hole. I didn't do it. I didn't go down it. But like, it's just, it definitely makes you think.
No, it really, really does. And so it kind of makes you view the world differently. I view Earth totally, totally differently. Every time that I go down these rabbit holes, and just makes me kind of bring new perspectives into my life. And I'm just like, huh, I really wonder what humans really are and why we're really here. And that's a rabbit hole within itself.
It is. Well, okay, let's speculate. That whole concept of a video game and being coded within it, I've even had the thought of being like, well, again, just to speculate, what if this is a video game or some type of simulation? Like, what we perceive as our physical reality, what if there's someone else pulling the strings to our character?
Of course.
And we just have no idea of it at all.
Of course. I mean, we've proven that we can be programmed. Like, humans have, like, humanity has, like, it's a proven thing that we are programmable.
Right.
And it's also a very proven thing that, like, I mean, there's a reason why there's, like, a cap on our intelligence. Like, why can't humans get smarter? You know what I'm saying? Why are they creating computer programs that are smarter than humans? And like, I have all these questions with the advancements in technology. I have all these questions about, well, if we're programmable, why aren't we programmed to be, you know, more intelligent? Why aren't we programmed to have higher emotional intelligence? It's just, if you can program all of that into AI and a robot, then why can't you do that with humans? Like, there's all these different things that I have questions about. If we are programmable beings, like, why aren't we given the same privilege as, like, some of this advanced technology?
That is a great question, and it's a really interesting paradox.
Indeed.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I kind of had thought that perhaps it came down to control and wanting to maintain some type of specific control over humanity at their expense, and instead either integrate man with AI or resort to AI. I just don't quite get why that would be the preferred direction and what benefit that would provide. Like, that's a part that's kind of missing and still being explored.
But it is a great question, because, I mean, honestly, I've seen people on TikTok saying, I have therapy sessions with ChatGPT, and I'm not saying that that's not okay or not right or anything, but it also makes me think, like, if they can program AI to be able to have, like, quality therapy sessions, it just makes me think, like, why aren't humans given the same privilege? That's just one example.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Again, the only thing I can think of is that it comes down to wanting to maintain some type of control over man.
Right. Which brings me back to my original statement, like opening, when I was just like, is Earth really a prison? And I do think it is a very interesting debate, because I have always been an advocate that Earth is a school, and I still believe that. I believe that this is actually one of the toughest schools in the entire universe for various reasons. But at the same time, I'm just like, I feel kind of trapped here, which makes me feel like I'm in a prison.
Well, many do feel that way. Like, okay, so let's take that route then. Let's assume that Earth is a prison. When we think of a prison, we think of it being a place for souls who, or individuals who have committed wrongs, right? And they're being punished some type of way. So is Earth a place of punishment?
I think that depends. I think that depends on who you ask. Tiara thinks so.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's like karmic, right? Like, you know, perhaps these are souls that have not done the best things, and so they come here to get their quote unquote punishment. But if it's just that, if this place is just a place of punishment, then why would there be a learning component to it?
Well, I mean, even when you're in prison, like, I mean, isn't that the whole point of like the rehabilitation program, is like for you to learn and to become like a better person? So you know, if obviously if you're not sentenced to life, like talking about real prisons here, then if you're sentenced for 5 years, I mean, what do you do in that 5 years, right? It's supposed to be like a rehabilitation. So when you get out, like you're a better person to society.
It's supposed to be that, yes. I think when it comes to certain places on this planet, it unfortunately doesn't necessarily do that. But in theory, yes. One is supposed to be rehabilitated, gain skills,
right,
so that they can reintegrate into society, right, and, you know, become... Right.
So, yeah. I mean, so if Earth was a prison, and if you are here to be punished, then, you know, you have to still go through the motions and learn your lessons and be a better person and evolve and grow in consciousness.
Right. So that means that if that's the case, wouldn't it mean that this planet is both a prison and a school?
Sure. Well, I mean, I've considered it being both too. I'm just saying that, like, I know that a lot of people feel trapped here, and they feel like, you know, and people feel like what is happening, particularly right now on this planet, isn't reality. It's not real. Like, I've seen a lot of people just say, why does, like, as people become more awakened to all the darkness, because there is darkness, and I've seen people say, hey, this feels really fake to me. Everything feels fake. Like the food feels fake, and the air feels fake, and the news feels fake, and everything in my existence feels fake. The people, the connections, everything. And I'm just saying, like, and you know, I've seen some of these people who make these claims that things feel really fake, like, all they want to do is go home. So there are starseeds on this planet, and people are often saying like, yeah, I'm ready to go home. I don't want to be on this planet anymore. And then they don't know how else to leave other than dying. They don't know how else to leave, and they just feel really trapped.
Hmm. Well, and I could like see that being the case for any prison, right? Like you feel trapped. You
right.
don't want to be in it anymore. Right. You want to go home. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think there's just like a lot of things going on in the Matrix and a lot of reasons why we're here. And I think a lot of people are asking themselves, like, why am I even here anymore? I know I've asked myself that. And I know a lot about Earth. And I'm really, you know, I'm deep into spirituality. And I'm just like, no, I know why we're here. And like, I understand it. But it's just at the same time, doesn't mean that I love it.
So this is an interesting thought then, because what happens in a prison when everyone doesn't want to be there anymore and everyone decides, like, this isn't the way I want to live, I don't want anything to do with this anymore, I'm going to push back? Because I have yet to see something like that emerge in a video game. Like, you know, these video games, you turn it on, you play, all the NPCs, they're NPCs, they don't, like, you know, step out of that role. But what happens if they do?
Well, we don't know, because it hasn't happened. I mean, how many people have actually stepped out of their role even on this planet and this reality?
Fair point.
Right? It's just like, how can you know if people don't take that leap and take that stand and just say, I don't want to live like this anymore? And it's just, some people are doing it, some people aren't doing it, but at the same time, it's just like, what do you do? Like, where do you go? And I see a lot of that happening on this planet right now, where people are just tired of surviving. I know I'm tired of surviving, and I do have it better than a lot of people. And for the people who have it worse off than I do, are just like, we're in 2025 with all this advanced technology, and like, our lives are supposed to be getting easier. Our lives are not supposed to be getting harder. And I feel like everybody feels like their lives are getting harder. Mm-hmm. And 3D reality is a very depressing place. Like, let's stop sugarcoating 3D reality. The 3D frequency is depressing. People mm-hmm. are stressed out, tons of anxiety. They're depressed. People don't feel like they can afford to do anything, like afford to do the things that make them happy. And it's just like, everything costs money. Everything, things that used to not cost money now cost money. And people are just like, how come I feel like any little bit of joy that is left in this planet, they feel like it's being taken away from them. And so people are starting to question like their reality of just like, why am I here? Like, I don't want to be surviving. I want to be thriving. I want to be able to afford things and do things and enrich my life and fill my cup with things that make me happy. And people are having a very hard time finding the things that fill their cup and make them happy. And if they do have it, they're barely holding on to it. They're clinging on to it for dear life.
Right. It's almost like, well, and I think we're going to see this happen, where 3D reality sort of just spirals into the most severe form of darkness. And if you don't escape it, you kind of get stuck in it, which is such a morbid and dark thing. I know that sounds like terribly dark, but our being here does give us that opportunity to escape it. Like, anyone can. It's just, I think so many have just gotten so lost in the darkness that they don't see the outs, or they can't find the light. Like, they can't find the exits, which is really sad.
Okay. So Tiara and I have been teetering with the like idea of different ways of living, and we have explored a couple options, but unfortunately, even some of these options cost money. And so, I mean, there are options, but at the same time, when it's not for everyday public, it's like, what do you do? So for example, this is just an example, like Tiara and I have experienced like off-grid living, where it's like, we buy a plot of land and we figure out how to fully sustain ourselves, like living, like planting our own food, figuring out water irrigation, figuring out, like, you know, get some chickens and do all of that. But at the same time, it's like, I agree with off-grid living and I love the concept of it, but still you need capital, you need money to be able to start something like that. So what do the people do who don't have the money?
It's a great question. You either try to like just go about it your own, on your own some type of way, whether that means van living or whether that means finding some friends and just like going to find land that way and starting it that way, or joining a community or a village. Like I kind of get the sense we're getting to a space where people are going to need to be super, super creative if they want to escape, especially if they don't have the means to, you know, go join a really expensive eco village or something like that. Like, I think people are going to just need to think outside the box when it comes to escaping. Or what we're seeing right now is try to topple everything from the top down, like trying to topple it at the highest levels of power, which is possible. I think theoretically it's definitely possible. Like, you know, we've seen mass revolutions unseat power in our history, but it does take a lot of numbers and courage, and everyone has to be united in that front. And I don't know that enough of us are quite there yet to really make that a possibility. I feel like we're getting to this place where we're just going to have to get super, super creative if we want a different way of living or existing.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying it is frustrating. I mean, I have seen, ironically enough, I was on TikTok last night and I was seeing more and more people saying, well, it finally happened. I got priced out of my apartment and I had to move into my car. And, you know, it's just like people are building tiny homes attached to a trailer on the back of their truck so they can be mobile. And like, I've seen a lot of the creative ways that people are living, but at the same time, it's like, I just have to question its fairness in it all. Right? Yeah. It's just, here we are saying, like, especially when Tiara and I were in elementary school, so like late 80s, early 90s, you know, when we're just learning about, you know, when you, after you go to college, like you'll be able to get like a good job where you can actually like afford a house. And, you know, like you don't, you know, and now it's like in 2025, it's like people are either living with their parents or are trust fund babies and they're able to afford a house that way, or a lot of people are getting priced out of rent and needing to move into an RV or their car. Some people are trying to figure out like tiny home living. And I mean, I'm not saying tiny homes are a bad thing. I'm totally a minimalist. I don't really attach to material goods, but at the same time, it's just like, I'm just saying, how fair is it that, you know, we were sold on this way of life and now, you know, we engineer our lives to live that way and then have it ripped away from us, and we need to start downsizing and we need to start getting super, super creative, like you said. And it's just, I'm not saying that life is fair. It's obviously not, but it's just very unfair that it has played out this way.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And I think that that has left many people feeling, you know, demoralized in some ways, because you're right, they were told and sold a very specific way of being and existing only to see it crumble between their fingers. And that's very demoralizing, especially when you don't know any other way of existing or being. So it's not fair. It's absolutely not fair. But again, I don't quite know what the answer is when it comes to that. Like, outside of just being creative with, you know, your way of being and existing? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Right. But I'm just saying that, like, we're even seeing the unfairness happening with different styles of living. Like, Tiara and I have also explored, like, the eco-villages. And, like, I mean, I have been exploring community living for a long, long, long time, for at least the past 10 years, like, just kind of teetering with it, looking into it. And really what it comes down to, and I understand why it is the way that it is, but at the same time, it's like, how many people have $250,000 to buy into one of these communities?
Yeah, so we've discovered that when it comes to some of these places, even here in the United States, there are actually a lot of them here in the US, but when it comes to some of these places, you need to have massive buy-ins. And, you know, these are communities that have probably been constructing or building for, you know, years and years and years, and they sort of got into the space now where if you want to be a part of it, you just have to have that capital because there's so much that needs to be sustained at this point.
Right, right. Okay, so, but I'm just saying, like, it's just, I'm a huge advocate for communities. I love the concept. I love what they're doing. But at the same time, is it feasible? Is it realistic for the average Joe?
Absolutely not. If you're talking about just buying into one of these communities, absolutely not. It's just, most people don't even have the money to make a down payment for a house, let alone to buy into any of these giant eco-villages. So is that fair? No, it's not fair. But unfortunately, it's just the reality of it.
Right. So, I mean, here you are saying, like, people have to get super, 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 super creative. And I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm just saying, like, even the super, super, super creative ways seem bleak because, again, you need money. Like, you need money to build a tiny home. If you wanted to go the tiny home route, you still need money. Like, you still need 10 grand. Who has 10 grand in their bank account nowadays? Really, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, you say, like, let's get super, super, super creative, and I'm not disagreeing with that, but at the same time, like, you still need 10 grand for a tiny home if you were to order one off of Amazon. Or, and then if you even get the tiny home, you still need to have a place to put it, right? Which means that you need a plot of land, whether, you know, it's gifted or rented or bought. You still need to put that tiny home on a piece of land, which is going to cost money. It's just everything costs money. Like, if you want to get your own community up and running, that's going to cost a huge, huge, huge financial, because I have friends who are just like, yeah, like, I would love to get me and 20 of my friends and we can go buy a plot of land and we can all, you know, figure out, like, farming and gardening and permaculture and this and that. And I'm just like, I mean, they know this. They were just like, but that's like a $2 million price tag where everyone needs to put in like $200,000 starting up.
Right. Right.
So that's why I'm saying it just seems like, and I mean, I didn't want to make this episode all doom and gloom, but that's just the energy. That's what it feels like. And it's just like, what do we do? How do we rise above it?
You know, I'm wondering if at some point we're going to have to recognize that money can only do so much. Like, money is a medium of exchange, right? But if only a specific subset of the population has it, I'm not quite understanding what good it's going to do when it comes to everyone as a society. Like, I am wondering if it's going to have to get to a place where we recognize the power of collectivism and taking care of each other in other ways outside of the need to exchange money as a medium. Like, I wonder if that's what it's going to take, if our society is going to shift in that way at some point. I honestly don't know. It's just, it's a thought that I've had, that I wonder if we're going to have to shift to a society that isn't, that doesn't have money as the medium of exchange.
Right, No, and I totally hear what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing with that. It's just, it's hard when more and more of our rights are being taken away from us. And so it's like there's all these other outside factors that are contributing to kind of what's going on right now. And it's just, I mean, who owns all the land? Who owns all the houses? Like, who, right? It's just like, it's still like we're going to have to report to someone at some point. And it's just like there's this hierarchy. And I mean, I would obviously love to see that fall. I'm just saying that it's like, it's really hard just to navigate life nowadays. It really is.
Oh, it's so hard. And especially as everything becomes so uncertain, especially here in the United States, like there's so much uncertainty and fear when it comes to our economy and what they're doing at the highest levels of power and what that's going to look like long term, short term, but also long term. And I think people just are not equipped and prepared to handle these massive disruptions that are about to take place. And, you know, the unfortunate reality of it is we can't weather this and think we're going to be able to come out okay if we stay individualistic. Like, I think our only saving grace is going to be to come together and support each other and lift each other through this cataclysmic change. I think that that's just going to have to be the way forward. I mean, I think we as a species, I mean, and we've talked about this before, are meant to be a communal collectivist species and society. And I think we're going to see why that's so necessary.
Oh, it's absolutely necessary. Like I said, I didn't really realize how individualistic America was until a friend of mine sent me this chart. I don't know where they found this chart, but when I saw it, I was just like, huh, it's really interesting. America was at 100%. And most Western countries like were in either 90 to 100%. So I'm talking about like UK, the UK, England, which is part of the UK, the United States, Australia. And then like, you know, you looked at the Latino cultures and they were at like 30% individualistic. And so when you really looked at this chart, it really kind of painted a picture for me. And I did end up sending that chart to TR and she's like, wow, this is amazing. Where'd you get this? And I said, a friend of mine. And, but I 100% agree. We need to get out of this individual thinking of, hey, like, it's just me against the world and I'm going to be okay. Like most, like the odds are so stacked against you. For those people, that's just like in a group of even 20, that's like, hey, let's band together. You can't take on 20 people. It's just impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like we're kind of being forced back into that collectivist mentality because the individualist mentality is, at this point, I think it's destroying people. I think it's destroying our society. I think that it's just had massive devastating impacts to the point where I think we're just getting to that place where it's like, we need to do something different and be different if we want to weather the storm, whatever right. That may be.
Whatever that may be. And we don't really have the answers for it, but I do think it's really interesting. And I do want to highlight kind of, you know, how TR and I are viewing the world because we do believe that it's both, that it is a prison, but it's also a school. And I think as a collective, there is a lot to learn, especially right now with what's going on in the United States and just kind of talking about that individualistic attitude and how really the way forward that we see forward is by coming together. Now, we don't know what that's obviously going to look like, but I do think that we need more people to shift into more of a collective thinking, a more communal thinking. And that is something that we wanted to talk about on this podcast, because I mean, Tiara and I, this is why we even started a community on Patreon, because like we want to build a community and have people come into our community where we can talk about spiritual things, but it doesn't even all have to be spiritual, just a safe place where we can come together. Because I mean, you obviously have to be careful with this, because I don't want to be a walking, talking contradiction here, where yes, two heads are better than one, of course, but at the same time, I'm not naive to the fact that there's too many cooks in the kitchen. So it's just, you have to be careful when you have big groups of people coming in, because people bring their egos. And of course, that is a whole different thing that you have to navigate. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things stacked against us when it comes to community living and communal thinking, because obviously you're going to have those individuals who want to come in and be leaders, and you know, they bring their egos and they think that their way is the right way. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's unavoidable, but it's really important that you vet. And that's another reason why, you know, Tiara and I do have rules in our community, telling people, you know, it's just, it's not an ego-based place. You know, it's really about collective thinking and guidance and support, because we need more of that.
Yes. It's absolutely that. But I mean, we also wanted it to be a space where if you need like emotional support or mental support or just someone to talk to who might understand, especially if you're on a spiritual journey, this is also meant to be that space with no judgments and, you know, no distractions or noise. Like it's meant to really be a place where we can take advantage of a collectivist state of being and shift away from this individualist state of being. Because as I mentioned, I think that that's the way forward. And I think that we need to start exploring that and embodying that in different ways. And so the community is just one avenue to do that. It's one place to do that. And, you know, it's meant to be a space where we can all have conversation and all decide what's the best way forward for even the community itself, because, you know, that's the power of that type of group-based connection is, you know, we come together and we decide what's best for the whole.
I love that.
Absolutely.
So we would love to hear your thoughts though on how you guys like view Earth and how you're navigating this time, because we're obviously in a transition phase and you guys are not alone. Like Tiara and I are right there with you brainstorming almost every day. We talk about it all the time because it's just, we're not naive to what's going on the planet and especially what's going on in the United States. And we're just like, how do we find the light in all of this darkness? How do we feel safe? And how do we navigate this crazy, crazy world right now?
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have any ideas, please let us know. We love interacting with you. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening. And if you guys have any ideas on like things that, any topics that you'd like us to talk about, like please like engage with us. Let us know, because Tiara and I don't really shy away from topics and we don't really shy away from rabbit holes or conspiracies. So let us know.
So I do want to add, I attended a rally in my city, and it was to participate in the worldwide April 5th protests. Now, I know everyone kind of has their own reasons for wanting to participate in this. For me, it was very much about what we're witnessing when it comes to a dismantling of the checks and balances in the United States and this slow shift that I see trying to be made towards dictatorship, and how that's not how we were meant to exist as a country. That's not like what our founders wanted. So I did participate to, you know, protest against that, but I also really wanted to observe, and I wanted to see, okay, how are people coming together? Like, what's the energy like here? Do people really embody this? Are they really together in this unified, you know, goal and effort? And I made a sign that was a hit, actually. I got lots of compliments and lots of people wanted photos. And I even did a radio interview. And the sign said, they might have the money, but we have the numbers. And it was an allegory about how we are stronger in numbers and how when we are united and we decide we want the same thing and we become collectivists and we push for that, that we can facilitate incredible change. And the energy was phenomenal. Like, everyone was united. I went to a couple sides where there were cars driving past. And, you know, I just held my sign and there were some other people holding their signs and everyone was honking and giving us thumbs up. And it felt like everyone was aligned. And it was really, really cool to witness that because, you know, our society has been so separatist and individualist for so long that when you see us coming together, it's very empowering and it's very inspiring. And I did see a couple people that were very inspired by my sign, like, I saw at least one person get emotional. So it's very impactful to see that kind of stuff. And I do recommend that you guys find other ways to, you know, join some type of movement, especially one that's aligned with making things better, because it'll uplift you and it'll inspire you. And you might meet some incredible people along the way too. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, if you are curious about our community and you want to be a part of it, you can find it on our website at goddessvibrationstudio.com. And there's just a link on the website that'll take you directly into the community. But if you go on your mobile phone, you'll see the link in the menu.
And we also just changed our prices and benefits.
All right. So thanks, you guys. And I look forward to some of your feedback.